Our first scripture reading today is from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. Adam and Eve had a son. Then Eve said, "I'll name him Cain because I got him with the help of the Lord." Later, she had another son and named him Abel. Abel became a sheep farmer, but Cain farmed the land. One day, Cain gave part of his harvest to the Lord, but Abel also gave an offering to the Lord. He killed the firstborn lamb from one of his sheep and gave the Lord the best parts of it. The Lord was pleased with Abel and his offering, but not with Cain and his offering. This made Cain so angry that he could not hide his feelings. The Lord said to Cain, "What's wrong with you? Why do you have such an angry look on your face? If you had done the right thing, you would be smiling. But you did the wrong thing, and now sin is waiting to attack you like a lion. Sin wants to destroy you, but don't let it." Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go for a walk." And when they were out in the field, Cain killed him. Afterwards, the Lord asked Cain, "Where is Abel?" "How should I know?" he answered. "Am I supposed to look after my brother?" And the Lord said, "Why have you done this terrible thing? You killed your own brother, and his blood flowed on the ground. Now his blood is calling out for me to punish you, and so I'll put you under a curse. Because you killed Abel and made his blood run out on the ground, you will never be able to farm the land again. If you try to farm the land, it won't produce anything. From now on, you'll be without a home, and you'll spend the rest of your life wandering from place to place." The second reading is from Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 through 16. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and pay them their money, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' Though when those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only an hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? That what belongs to you, take what belongs to you and go. I chose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last."
Well, holy God, may the words of my mouth, may the thoughts of all our minds, and may the meditations of our hearts, may they be acceptable to you. You call us by name. We are yours. So may all we do and say bring honor to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have noticed in the bulletin or in the announcement reel that we at McCabe are hoping to better tell our story through social media sites like Facebook. In order to do this, we need you to help us out. Those of us who are growing in faith through McCabe and who are excited about what God does through this church, we are the best ambassadors for inviting others to join us in worship and in ministry at McCabe. And while you will not often hear me advocate for spending time on your smartphone in worship, I'm going to do that right now, just briefly. So, assuming that many of you have one with you, I want you to pull out your smartphone, or if you don't have yours with you, just tuck this in your mind for later in the day. If you have the Facebook app on your phone, I want you to open it up and do a search for our McCabe Facebook page. And then like our page if you haven't liked it yet. Of course, if you don't use Facebook and you don't plan to, that's fine. While social media is an important communication tool these days, it's not for everyone, and we know that. So this is a screenshot of our McCabe Facebook page. If you do not have a blue thumbs up icon on your version of the McCabe Facebook page, it means you have not liked it yet, so do that now. When you have liked our page, you'll be able to see our posts in your Facebook feed. We post things about children's ministry events, our sermon series, study opportunities, openings at the Open Door Preschool that's housed here, etc. You can, of course, share our posts as well when you've liked our page, which is a great way for your Facebook friends to see who we are and what we are about. If anyone that any of you know happens to be searching spiritually, one of our posts might give you the opportunity to share with them about McCabe and about how God is moving among us here. Okay, you can put your phones away now. Well, a handful of McCabe folks got together over lunch on Wednesday, and we talked about how we can better tell our McCabe story through social media like Facebook. Soon after the meeting, I carefully crafted a post about this weekend's sermon topic, and I must admit, I was pretty proud of it. Above a picture of a couple of rather high-class sports cars, the post reads as follows. Does the car next to you often seem better than the one you're driving? That's called envy, and unlike that other car, it ain't pretty. Envy is the second installment of our Beyond the Seven Deadly Sins sermon series, and we'd love to have you join us for it this weekend. Last week was pride, and coming up down the road are sloth, anger, greed, lust, and gluttony. I mean, that's a pretty clever way to introduce the topic of envy, don't you think? I felt really good about this post, and I had high hopes that the people of Facebook would be clicking on it and sharing it left and right. Surely everyone is extremely excited to face the subject of envy head on, right? Well, not too long after I posted about this weekend's sermon topic, our special music coordinator, Tim, popped into the sanctuary and took an impromptu video of Arvidel Benz practicing one of the beautiful pieces she's playing on the organ during our services this weekend. With Arvidel's permission, Tim posted that video to our Facebook page. Almost immediately, people were liking it and commenting on it, even asking during which services she would be playing that piece so that they would not miss hearing it. Friends, people did not respond so quickly and so enthusiastically to my post about this weekend's message on envy. Nobody commented on it. Hardly anyone liked it. And I must admit to you, when I saw how much more response Tim's post was getting compared to mine, I started feeling a certain kind of way. You might even say I started feeling rather envious. Shameful, right? I mean, Tim and I, we are literally working for the same place, hoping to achieve the same goal of telling people who we are at McCabe and how God works through us to share the message of Jesus. Why in the world should I care if something he posts on Facebook is more quote-unquote successful than something I post? I shouldn't have cared, but I did. Now, I tell this story in fun and with Tim's permission. Truly, I love that his post about Arvidel's organ piece was so successful among those who saw it on Facebook. Music is a critically important way that we express our love for God, and it's a critically important part of our McCabe story. I want that story to be told on Facebook. So I absolutely should not, it should not matter to me that Tim's post about our incredible music performed better than my post about this weekend's sermon topic. But it did matter to me. I'm human, and I experience envy from time to time. And if I'm being fully transparent, I must admit to you that I experience envy far more often than I wish I did. The other day, fittingly, as I was driving around town doing a few errands, I ended up behind a car with a license plate frame that said, "I see, I like, I want, I whine, I get." And I thought, how perfect. Well, it's almost perfect. Envy does not tend to be quite as simple as "I see, I like, I want, I whine, I get." Because with envy, we often cannot get that which we see, like, want, and maybe whine about. And for the record, I admit it's a bit ironic that I encouraged you to like and to interact with our McCabe Facebook page, because as many of you are perhaps aware, social media sites like Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat, among others, often plant seeds of envy in our minds and hearts. We scroll our Facebook or Instagram feeds, or we view snaps from others through Snapchat, and we begin to see things we wish we had. Social media can be used well and faithfully to communicate, but it can also inspire us to relentlessly compare ourselves to those we follow on social media. Now, people often use the words envy and jealousy interchangeably, but I once heard them defined differently and in a way that stuck with me. Though I can't quote the source, the two words were defined like this. Jealousy is the fear of losing something that is yours or that you perceive to be yours, whereas envy is the desire to possess or to have something that is someone else's. So one spouse worrying over the other spouse's fidelity, that's jealousy, while desiring someone else's spouse is envy. Of course, envy can be much more subtle than that. It may not be actually desiring someone else's spouse, but it may be desiring someone else's seemingly perfect marriage, or their vehicle, or their home, or their education, or their work promotion. Envy may also be desiring someone else's children, or their way with people, or the way they entertain effortlessly, or their natural athleticism, or their popularity, or their health, or. And of course, envy is not some fleeting thought that enters your mind and quickly disappears. Retired United Methodist Bishop Will Willimon says that envy is a subtle matter, but quite powerful. It gnaws, nibbles away at our consciousness. In his book, Sinning Like a Christian, A New Look at the Seven Deadly Sins, Willimon offers these quotable quotes about the deadly sin of envy. He writes, "When we envy someone, We tend to magnify that person's good fortune while at the same time minimizing our own. Willimon also says that to regard our lives as diminished in comparison with our neighbor's life is to despise the God who gave us our lives as they are. I'm going to say that one again because it bears repeating. To regard our lives as diminished in comparison with our neighbor's life is to despise the God who gave us our lives as they are. Ouch. And finally, Willimon says this. Envy sometimes sets unrealistic goals for itself and then pays in its eternal sense of frustration. In the Bible, Philippians 4, verse 7 says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." Again, envy sometimes sets unrealistic goals for itself and then pays in its eternal sense of frustration. Envy is that nagging, the grass is always greener on someone else's side, and who I am and what I have is never good enough kind of attitude. Envy truly is eternal frustration. Put a bit more spiritually and a bit more biblically, as in Philippians 4, verse 7, envy is the thief of our peace. And in fact, envy has been stealing our peace since Genesis 4. And that's almost the very beginning of the human story. Last weekend, Pastor Mark mentioned the function of pride, the first of the seven deadly sins on which we focused in this series. Pastor Mark mentioned the function of pride in the story of Adam and Eve, and how the serpent convinced them they could be like God if they ate the fruit of the tree from which God had forbidden them to eat. "If you eat this fruit," the serpent said to them, "you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil." The prospect of being like God was too enticing for them. Adam and Eve's pride got the better of them. They ate the fruit. Everything as they knew it changed, and not so much for the better. So pride entered the human story with Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, and envy entered the human story in Genesis 4 with Adam and Eve's sons, Cain and Abel. Cain, the older of the two, was a farmer, and his younger brother Abel herded sheep. After both brothers had done some seasons of work, they each brought a thank offering to God. As our scripture reading said, Cain gave part of his harvest to the Lord, and Abel killed the firstborn lamb from one of his sheep and gave the Lord the best parts of it. Now, as modern people, we don't typically give a thank offering in forms like these. When we give a thank offering to God, it's usually money out of our paycheck. It's the monetary fruit of our labor. Back then, however, things were more literal. You took an actual portion of your labor, some grain, an animal, and you burned it on an altar. This symbolized your thanks to God for the ability to do that work. It symbolized your thanks for the yield your work produced. And then the smoke from your burnt offering rose to the heavens like prayers of gratitude rising to God. Now, we believe God welcomes any and all offerings we bring. But in the story of Cain and Abel, God had a clear preference for Abel's offering. We don't know for sure, because it doesn't say in the text, why God preferred Abel's offering, but it likely had something to do with the fact that Abel brought to God the first and the best of his flock, whereas Cain simply chose a random part of his harvest. Abel was truly intentional about what he offered to God as a thank offering, whereas Cain likely chose haphazardly, perhaps out of a sense of obligation rather than true gratitude. Whatever the case, Cain knew God's preference for Abel's offering, and envy began to poison his spirit. Envy poisoned his spirit so much so that Cain devised a plan and executed a plan to kill his younger brother. Envy is an ugly, ugly thing. But Pastor Jenny, you might be thinking, it's not that bad when I get envious. If you're thinking something like that, you're probably making a fair point. When we get envious, it is usually not harmful unto death. But in order to truly understand just how harmful our own envy really is, we have to be thoroughly self-reflective. When you find envy creeping into your mind and heart, how far in does it creep? Is it a momentary thought that quickly disappears? Or do you find that it begins to settle in? When you see something you want, how quickly do you make plans to acquire it? And is it something that's appropriate given your life and finances? And then once you have that particular thing you wanted, how soon are you looking for the next thing? The next outfit, the next vehicle, the next job, the next home or town or friend? And when you experience a sense of peace in your life, if you've ever experienced a sense of peace in your life, how long does that peace last? Or does it evaporate as quickly as it arrived? A good test to gauge our level of envy might be to see how we genuinely respond in our spirit to the story Jesus tells in Matthew 20, the story about the laborers in the vineyard. Again, a landowner, he went out to recruit day laborers to work in his vineyard. First, he went out very early in the morning, maybe 6 o'clock, and got one group, offering them an adequate wage for the day's work. They all agreed to the wage, and then they got to work. A few hours later, the landowner saw more people looking for work. He offered to pay them, and they too got to work. At noon, at 3, and finally again at 5, the landowner saw more and more workers looking for work. Like the others, he offered to pay them, and they all went to work. At the end of the workday, the landowner gathered all the workers, and he paid each of them the full daily wage he had agreed to pay the workers he'd hired the earliest in the morning. Then, even though they got the amount promised to them, those who had worked all day complained that it was unfair. You paid the people who only worked an hour the same amount you paid those of us who have been out here in the scorching sun working for you all morning. So how are you feeling at this point in Jesus' story? Are you feeling a little bit like those all-day workers? You get a bit riled up over the lack of fairness? Does the landowner's system seem unjust to you? Even though everyone got paid, and even though those workers who'd been there all day got the pay they had agreed to receive when they were hired, the landowner said, "Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" Does it bother us when people get good things they don't seem to deserve? Does it seem unfair when the wasteful, disrespectful prodigal son returns home and his father throws him a welcome party? In our heart of hearts, do we sometimes think God's mercy and grace should not be showered on others the way we hope it's showered on us? Friends, the good news, and it's good news, is that God's mercy and grace is for each of us, and it is for us no matter what time of the day we show up to receive it. And when we receive the mercy and the grace of our God, God wants us to know that it is enough, We don't need to be envious, looking to the left or the right of us to find the next best thing. God wants us desperately to experience that peace that passes all understanding. And when we discover that God has given us that kind of peace, nothing else in this world is worth envying. Let us pray. Oh, holy God, in mysterious ways, you bless us with everything we need in this life. Yet sometimes we lose sight of the good in our lives and we become envious of the good we perceive in the lives of others. Send us your spirit of peace. Send your spirit of contentment. Make us truly grateful for the lives that you've given us, that we might truly love you well and that we might truly love our neighbors well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.